Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guess, red hot is an understatement. Normal is the correct statement. His name is Todd White. He walks in amazing, accurate words of knowledge and healing. He expects everyone he prays for to be healed. He was telling me about a homeless man that was in a wheelchair. Pick it up from there, Todd.
All right. Well, here this guy's name, they call him Mad Dog Mike. I went out in the street and I'm talking to him about his broken ribs, and I reached my hand inside of his jacket and he told me, "Don't you touch me." And I put my hand on his ribs and he looked at me with fire in his eyes. And I said, "Lord, thank you for brand new ribs." And his ribs healed underneath my hand. And I told him to move around and he was overwhelmed. He said, "All the pain's gone." I said, "Man, God so loves you. You're so amazing. He loves you so much, Mike. He loves you so much, man." I said, "Come on, man, you got to let me pray for your knee." He said, "Well, it's not going to happen." Now he's a little less angry because his ribs are healed. Now I've given him a God encounter that is enabling me to move on to his leg. I said, "Come on, man, you got to let me pray for your leg." He said, "All right, go ahead. You can do what you want. It's not moving. There's pins and rods in there." I said, "Mike, God made metal." So we prayed for his knee and nothing happened. Now, at this time, my microphone is on inside the church, and people are starting to come out of this church that I'm getting ready to do a service in. So this is just a good setup by God to get the church open for what's going to come. And so now we're praying again, and he moved it just a teeny bit. And he looked at me real weird because he hadn't moved it in 33 years. I said, "Come on, man." We prayed again, and we hit it again, and we hit it again. Prayed about 6 or 7 times, and he bent his knee. And his knee was bent just like the other one. I said, "Mike," I said, "what's going on?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know." And his body was trembling on the wheelchair and he was shaking. See, it's absolutely impossible for rods to bend. And it's absolutely impossible in the world for rods to disappear. But God has made metal disappear, and we've seen it before a bunch of times. So now he's bending his leg and he stands up. And as he stands up, his back is bent over and he's hunched over. And I said, "What's going on with your back, man?" He said, "I broke my back." And I said, "It fused." And it was fused so that his back was bent in a permanent position. I said, in a seated position almost. So I said, "Come on, man, we're going to pray for your back." We prayed for his back. And in the midst of praying for him, he stood straight up and he looked at me. It was so almost impossible for him to cry. It's been so long without even tears coming. But his eyes welled up. And I said, "Mike, touch the ground." And he bent over and he touched the ground right there. And the church has actually been in that place in Virginia, right by VCU, has been actually in contact with him, talking to him, and actually in fellowship with him out on the street, man, because it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance.
Tell me about the woman that had the kneecap broken in half.
This was in a place where we had went up to a townhouse up in Camp Hill on request from a lady that I had prayed for at a hotel that I stayed at up in Camp Hill, and she got healed. Her neck got healed. She told me at the front desk that I told her, I said, "You have problems with your neck?" She goes, "No." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm just hearing in my heart, you do." And so she ended up coming up to my hotel room and slipping a note under the door, and I caught it as soon as she did, and I opened the door. And here she gave me this note about her son that needed prayer, and that we prayed for her neck right there. She wouldn't let me. She said, "I don't need prayer. Pray for my son." I said, "Okay." And I just took her hand and prayed for her anyway. And God healed her neck. So now this is a follow-up appointment to pray for her son, who was just really hyper and really just a real hyper kid. So we went there and prayed for her son. And the neighbor's there. And she's in the house. And these ladies are just cussing up a storm. And the lady's a chain smoker, the one that's sitting on the couch. Here she had broke her kneecap in half 30 years ago. About the same time as this guy I just told you about before. And her leg was solid. It was just solid. It was calcium the whole way through. So I said to her, I said, "We got to pray for your knee." She said, "Honey," she said, "this knee ain't bent in 30 years. I said, "I know, but God loves you." And she's like, "Well, you can do what you want." And she's just cussing and smoking, and I'm praying for a knee, and nothing's happening. I prayed for a knee probably 6 or 7 times, and nothing's happening. But I know it's God's will for a knee to be healed, because Jesus would have healed it immediately. And there's no bad knees in heaven. And he said, let his kingdom come, his will be done on this earth, the same as it is in heaven. So if there's not a bad knee in heaven, there shouldn't be one on this earth, because it's God's will to be the same here as it is there. It's simple. So I'm praying, and all of a sudden she starts to bend her knee a little bit, and it's cracking and popping. So all of a sudden she's down on her knees with a cigarette in her hand, thanking God because her knee has bent for the first time in 30 years. And she said, there is no way that I'm able to do this. I said, well, you're doing it. I said, you're amazing. God loves you so much.
You know, Todd, there's something I want to ask you for those that are perhaps tuning in for the first time. You were set free of 22 years of being a drug addict at the point of suicide, and Jesus spoke to you audibly. And you were in Teen Challenge, but for 3 nights in a row, he visited you.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I'd probably cry because it's so real. Well, I had these nightmares every night when I went to bed at Teen Challenge. It was the only time that the enemy had access to me, because I didn't understand. I submit to God at night when I go to sleep. I ask him to teach me now, but I didn't know then. And I had these demonic night terrors, they're called. And this night, after I had the homeless man speak to me that day, I went to sleep, and there was when I was in my dream, and there was a valley, and it extended as far as I could see forward and backward. And there were 2 mountainsides on the side of it with steep grades. There wasn't any sharp edges. There wasn't any rocks to climb, so it was very smooth. And what happened was it started to tremble, and it started to shake. And there was nowhere for me to hide, because in my dreams I could hide. And this time it started to tremble, and it started to shake, and I couldn't hide. And I said, God, please help me. And immediately I heard a voice say, do not fear. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And bang, I woke up. And immediately I went into my prayer closet up at Teen Challenge, which was a room I could go to before the day started. So I opened the Bible, and it opened right up to Psalm 23. And I read, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. So I went, and I went it throughout my day. I didn't say anything to anybody. I mean, my nightmares were so bad that the guys that stayed with me and my roommates in my room were scared, because I would literally run around the room screaming in fear and in terror at night and wake them all up yelling and crying, and it was horrible. So now, all of a sudden, I go to sleep the next night after my day. I didn't say anything, and the same exact dream happened again. And in this dream, I saw the same valley and the same sides. And this time it shook a little more. And I fell to my knees and I said, Lord, I said, help me. And I heard this voice again. And it sounded like, I can't even explain what it sounded like. It sounded like rapids, like if you go beside a river, and it sounded like just water off of rocks. Like, just, it was just loud and booming, and it went right through me. Do not fear, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. And it was a little more than the first night. I went throughout my day and I told a buddy, I said, look, man, I've been having this dream. I said, I think it's God. He's like, man, don't leave. He said, you can't leave. He said, you know what happens when people leave early? Because it's a year program. So the second morning I went, after that dream, I went and I opened up to the same, flipped it right open to Psalm 23 again. Read the same thing. And it's starting to bear witness in my heart. I've been sowing the word up into my heart for 2 months in Teen Challenge, not understanding that sometimes when the word goes in, you don't understand it. But all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it becomes revelation. And then all of a sudden, it changes your life and it transforms you from the inside out. And that's what was going on. So the third night, I had the same encounter. But this time, the valley shook really, really, like, amazingly. And I fell down, and there was a light behind me. And it shined down the valley in front of me, and I was afraid to turn around. And so this time the same voice came, but this time there was a hand on my shoulder. And it said, do not fear, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Your addiction will never touch you again. Go home and restore friends and family. I'm always with you. And bang, I woke up. And when I woke up, I packed my stuff. I called Dan, my buddy Dan Moeller. I called him up, and I told him what had happened, and he said, is this God? And I said, I met Jesus. He said, I'm on my way. Came and picked me up, and that was Jesus, and he totally just transformed my life. Salvation works itself out with fear and trembling. The word of God gets in, And all of a sudden it transforms you from the inside out and makes you a brand new creation to where your thought pattern is completely redirected and reestablished, and you start thinking with the mind of Christ, living with your mindset on things above and not things beneath, praying from a place called heaven, praying towards the earth from a kingdom perspective, allowing the light to permeate and destroy the darkness.
On tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't know if you've, I know you've done this before because you prayed for one of my producers and she got healed just over the phone. But I believe tomorrow you can pray for people over the airwaves and they'll be healed. Have you done that before?
Oh, yeah.
Have you gotten results of people being healed?
Do I have time for a testimony real quick?
Yes, real quick.
Okay. There was a man that called from California because he had seen a video and heard a teaching. He's an ex-Marine. He's a non-believer. He's in the hospital with lung cancer and liver cancer. He's in the hospital, and I called out there to talk to him just because he requested a call. And I'm sharing with him, and I said to him, I said, there's a nurse in the room with you. He said, yes. I said, she's got a neck problem. He asked her the first time, and she said no. The second time, she said no, and she grabbed the phone because of the crazy guys on the phone. So here she's a Buddhist nurse with a neck problem that she wouldn't admit to. So we prayed for her on the phone, and she got healed, and the presence of God was on her in the room. I asked her if she would put her hand on him in the hospital room, and she did, and I had her pray in Jesus' name for the man with the lung cancer and the liver cancer. And 3 weeks later, we had a phone call that Bob was completely healed. There's not a trace of cancer.
Oh, I can't wait for tomorrow's broadcast.
Amen.
Jesus told us to heal the sick. Sounds simple, right? Yet many of us have not seen consistent results. According to Todd White, healing is easy. In his brand new CD, Todd will teach you how to renew your mind, to think like Jesus, and to begin healing the sick regardless of their circumstances, attitudes, or unbelief. You can walk in the miraculous just like Jesus did. To receive your copy of Todd White's CD teaching entitled Healing is Easy for a donation of only $16, call us at 1-800-447-2697. First-class shipping and handling is included. That's 1-800-447-2697.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.